as you know, and I will be focusing on one item in the menagerie each show. Next week, I heard somebody wanted to drop off a Hammond B3 organ with a 56 Leslie speaker, so we might be looking at music that uses that instrument. For the carnitas, after you have cooked it throughout the whole night, you should wake up in the morning and publish the song, and then you should take it out and let it cool for about 1 hour. Save all of the juice and let that cool as well. After everything is cooled off to the touch, go ahead and shred the pork with some forks. Then you take the juice with all of the vegetables in it, put it in a food processor, and blend it really, really good. Then, what you do is you take your shredded pork, heat a pan with vegetable oil about 1.5 tablespoons. Make sure the pan is hot before you add the shredded pork. Place your pork gently into your heated pan with oil and cook on one side, medium-high heat, until browned, about 3 to 5 minutes. Once that is browned, flip it over. Take the gravy that you made and pour just enough to keep the pork moist. Let it cook for about another 2 minutes or until your liquid has absorbed, and put it on tacos, on a salad, in a burrito, on a bun, or just in your mouth. Thank you again for joining me at the opening day of the menagerie.
the Wiggle Room on Shayna's Jungle Room.
Growing up here in Hollywood as a child actor, I'll never forget the times at Falcon's Dancing School on Western Avenue, where I used to go dance, take dancing lessons and singing and all that. It was so much fun. And I used to, there was a club around on Western Avenue, a blues club. I can't remember the name of it, but I used to get my ear in there and I used to hear these singers rehearse, blues singers and jazz singers. And, oh, I was... That's the first time I ever heard blues, when I was like 9 years old. And boy, did I love it. It always stuck with me. That's my favorite. Blues, rhythm, jazz. And today I am sitting here with a great lady of jazz and rhythm and blues. And Hattie Brooks, how are you?
I'm fine, Skippy.
Boy,
how are you?
Boy, those days in Hollywood. You grew up here, too.
Yes, I did.
Oh, those were the days. Tell me about Los Angeles in those days.
Well, every time I'd leave town, come back, it would change. Another building would go up.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen it grow.
You have?
I've seen it grow.
You were at Hattie Brooks. Went to school where, first of all?
First, the elementary school was Malabar.
Uh-huh.
Lived right next door.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't afford to be late.
Uh-huh.
Then I was supposed to go to Roosevelt High, but I had a special permission to go to Polytechnic for its musical curricula.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to...
never knew, but Hattie Brooks, but you never knew you wanted to get into show business at that time.
No, I didn't have a clue.
Didn't know.
I didn't have a clue.
What was Hattie Brooks aiming for at that time?
I don't really know.
Really?
I didn't really know. I hadn't any possible idea that I was going to end up in show business. Mm-hmm. Or using the education that I got, my father gave me in music,
uh-huh.
to use it to what use has been put to today.
Right. You were... playing piano for dancers, tap dancers.
That's right.
Recitals and all that?
Well, I was playing for one school.
Rehearsals?
Covan School. No, not rehearsals.
Okay.
Just, it's almost an everyday thing, but Sunday.
Uh-huh.
For children, small children, and some adults, and some movie stars.
Uh-huh.
And this man who taught the dancing taught all the big dancers.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they had a dance convention.
Uh-huh.
And each one of them gave a routine, and
right.
this man's name was Willie Covan, and every step that he did wasn't tap. It was tap, and to a certain extent you could hear his movements,
uh-huh.
but you could also see at everything that he did was a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always told me, he said, if you stand still, the audience can talk, go to sleep and wake up, and they'll still see you there. But if you move around, they think they might have missed something.
Uh-huh.
And they keep looking at you.
Hattie Brooks, you look wonderful.
I feel fine.
You're keeping yourself busy.
Yes.
But after this rehearsals and recitals and stuff like that you've been doing, what happened? How did you get into business as a singer, pianist?
Well, as a pianist, I mean, I was trying to get some different rhythms from the poet and peasant for this dance director.
Okay.
And I got the rumba, and I got rhythm, and I got a waltz, and then I was trying for a boogie.
Uh-huh.
And someone was standing behind me at this music company downtown while I was trying to pick out the boogie and keep it within the classical vein.
Right.
And they asked me, could I play a boogie? And I said, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He says, well, I'll give you a week, he says, to work one up.
Uh-huh.
I've got $800. and we'll record it. If something comes of it, we're in business. If nothing comes of it, I've lost $800.
What was that boogie-woogie song?
It's the swinging the boogie.
Swinging the boogie? That's the first recording?
That's the first recording.
Ah, and that's the first time it came out. It became a big hit.
It became a big hit. My sister took it to San Francisco, a box, uh-huh. and she took it to Sherman and Clay, which played nothing and had nothing in their store but classical records.
Uh-huh.
And they bought it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Boogie Woogie wasn't around those days, was it?
Well, it didn't come forth as much as I think it should have, but then I wasn't very much familiar with it. But, I mean, uh-huh. there were some great Boogie Woogies,
uh-huh.
piano players.
Right.
I mean, you know, like Albert Ammons and Pete Johnson,
okay.
you know, and Meat Lux Lewis,
uh-huh.
who was kind of heavy on the hand.
Uh-huh.
And so I went behind Albert Ammons and uh-huh. Pete Johnson.
But you made another Boogie Woogie song. What was that? The Blues and the Boogie?
Blues and the Boogie. Well, no, that was a saxophone solo. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of put out.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy playing the blues on a saxophone, don't even like saxophones.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I'm playing the piano.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
But that was on the other side or the flip side of Swinging the Boogie.
Uh-huh.
So this
Tell me the days at the Million Dollar Theater downtown in L.A. That must have been great those days.
It was wonderful.
Great stars must have been down there. All
they
those
were great.
Great entertainers. You must have seen a lot of great ones.
I did.
I
was back there. I got the engagement when I was backstage with Lionel Hampton.
Mm.
And Lionel Hampton, I don't know. He knew. Yes, he had heard that
uh-huh.
I was... coming out on boogies. The boogies that I was making was going very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he just by sheer mistake or sheer nerve called me out on the stage, and I didn't know he was going to do that.
He called you?
He called me.
You were backstage?
Yes, standing uh-huh. almost on stage
uh-huh.
behind the curtain.
Right,
know?
Right.
And I went to the piano and played a boogie.
Uh-huh.
The band fell in behind me.
Uh-huh.
And from that, I had a 1 week engagement with Charlie Burnett.
Ooh, that must have been great.
It was fine.
The movie. You grew up here in Hollywood. Did you ever thought that you would be in a film?
No.
Hattie Brooks, never knew you wanted to be in show business. Here you are now in one of the great movies with Lana Turner, Kurt Douglas, The Bad and the Beautiful.
Bad and the Beautiful.
Oh, what a
Benny
movie.
Benny Goodman suggested me first with Out of the Blue with George Brenton on Dvorak.
Uh-huh.
And that was an English production. After that, it was with the wonderful Humphrey Bogart.
The other one was called...
which one?
Which with Humphrey Bogart.
That was called In a Lonely Place.
In a Lonely Place.
In a Lonely Place.
Who was in that? Humphrey and who else?
Humphrey and, Nicholas Ray directed it.
Yes.
And Gloria Graham.
Great actress.
And Frank Lovejoy
mm-hmm.
was in it.
Uh-huh.
And... But I couldn't hardly get to know any of those people because...
You didn't get to know Humphrey Bogart?
Oh, Humphrey Bogart wouldn't let me alone. I mean...
What do you mean, Hattie Brooks alone, right?
Yeah, well, he said when the director said, cut, Humphrey would make it over to where we were. We'd talk, we'd
uh-huh.
talk, we'd talk, and we'd talk.
Uh-huh. What do you talked about, Hattie? Share something.
Well...
What do you say?
Humphrey would tell me about his houseboy.
His houseboy?
Yeah, who was in motion pictures also.
Okay.
His name was Fred Clark.
Uh-huh.
And
Fred Clark, the...
Yeah, well, Fred Clark...
the bald-headed guy. It's Fred Clark, the actor, character actor. Wasn't that the one?
I don't
okay,
know.
Go ahead.
He, Humphrey Bogart invited me over for breakfast. Don't
right.
know where baby was.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting in the kitchen waiting for Clark to come out and fix our breakfast, and he came out, and he had an English accent. And he says, I'm very sorry, Master, but I can't fix your breakfast this morning. I'm due on the set at 6.
The Fred Clark did?
Yes, right.
That's the wrong Fred Clark.
That's
go
right.
Ahead. Okay, go
no,
ahead.
No, he was,
okay.
he was what I might say a mixture. He was black. But
okay.
he had, I guess he was had an English accent because he was born over there.
Right,
I guess,
of course. You know.
Uh-huh. And then he would tell me that Fred Clark ruined his car. He ran into a wall to keep from hitting a dog.
Uh-huh.
And it was so much about Fred Clark, I think he just adored the man.
Uh-huh.
He liked him very much. He was very, very, very up on him, you know.
Lana Turner, working with Kurt Douglas, Lana Turner, The Bad and the Beautiful, that became a great big movie.
It was a big movie.
A classic movie.
Oh, the.
But your song in that film.
My song in that film is "There I Am and There I Went."
What's that all about? How's that?
That was all about because when I went to the audition, Vincent Minnelli directed it.
Right, right.
And he asked me to do "Temptation." I didn't like "Temptation."
You don't like "Temptation"?
No, I told him during the audition. I said I don't like "Temptation."
Sounds like a strip number, doesn't it?
Just to me, you know, you came, I was alone.
Yeah, da, right. Da, da, da.
And then he said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "I do something like Why Was I Born?" And "Don't Take Your Love From Me."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Well, do a little bit of it." And I did something. And then he put the music of "Temptation" in front of me.
Right.
And I made out. He had two other girls there that put the top up, and they played it very classically and beautifully. They played it.
So you had auditioned for this?
I auditioned for it.
Okay.
And so then I sang "Don't Blame Me." And then he put the music of "Temptation" up in front of me, and I read it, and I said, "Da-da." Da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. I didn't want to play it. But he said, "Okay." He told me to go over and make out the requisite for my pay for the audition. And then when I was making out the requisite, he would come over and he told it was my representative at the time. He said, "When is she available?"
Great.
But when I got on the set, these two girls were there, and I was late because they hadn't told me what they're going to do. I wasn't negotiating any kind of a contract. I didn't know exactly.
This is MGM? MGM? Was this at MGM or Universal?
MGM.
MGM. Okay.
MGM.
Yeah.
And I didn't, nobody talked to me about where to be, what to do, and this and that and the other, so I didn't show. Mm-hmm. So he sent another representative. I was working at Jimmy Dolan's at the time, which is now, what is it, Spago's?
Spago's,
yes,
right,
which is now
on Sunset.
Mm. That was a beautiful place. And
that was a hot spot those days.
It was.
We'll get back to that. Go ahead.
Okay. And they sent another representative to me. They said, "Be on set tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at him and I said, "How much are they going to pay me?" He told me.
Uh-huh.
I said, "Okay, I'll be there." I came in and Vince Minnelli says, "I have gone through hell to try to find you."
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I think he got just a little bit of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
He made me stay while everybody went to lunch. He had a man come out to teach me "Temptation."
To teach Hedda Brooks "Temptation." I love it. Go ahead.
And I went behind the man and I did the rhythm that he had put it in.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I had finished, it was "Here I Am and There I Went." So I didn't sing that much of it. In the Humphrey Bogart picture, I sang the whole
you
thing.
You sang the whole thing with Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
Humphrey Bogart loves those singers at the piano, didn't he? And all his movies. A lot of his films had that.
That he had.
Sam and all that.
Sam and all,
all that. And Hedda Brooks in one of them, too, baby.
Right.
Hedda Brooks, tell me about this club you were by Spago's. What was it called?
Jimmy Dolan.
Jimmy Dolan's. Tell me about that. Was a great room.
It was
room.
Up on the hill.
A lot of stars used to come there.
A lot of stars came there.
I understand Elizabeth Scott used to come all the time.
She used to come all the time.
Tell me about that.
She brought me a bottle of perfume.
Uh-huh.
And she seemed to like me very, very much. And Bobby Short was there at one time. And also Bobby, he married...
Bobby Darin?
No,
that's a long time. Bobby Darin's
Jack Webb's former wife.
No, okay.
The one that sang "Cry Me a River," but anyway.
Johnny Ray. Oh, "Cry Me a River."
Yeah.
Oh. Julie
London.
Julie London.
Julie
yeah.
London, and Bobby. His name was Bobby. He played with me. Played for me.
Right.
To do two or three songs standing,
mm-hmm.
and then he would get up, and I would go to the piano.
Uh-huh.
Which made a nice little show and a nice little start.
You know what I love about Hedda Brooks? You're at the piano, but all of a sudden, you're walking around. And there's
No piano.
No piano.
Yeah.
Hedda Brooks, where did that come from? Come on, tell me about it. Tell me the evening that arrived in Hedda Brooks' life. I want to know.
I got miffed.
Uh-huh.
And someone was talking.
Go ahead.
And I didn't think that they were paying enough attention, so I got right up and walked to them. I'm over here now.
Right. Right there.
Not over there.
That's right.
And I'm going to sing to you. I didn't say this, but my attitude showed it. You're going to listen. So from then on...
It worked.
It worked. I did it a lot.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
Because people in clubs are talking.
They were.
Yeah. Because you're at the piano and sometimes... That's a very clever idea.
I did, and I do.
You know, when
I still do it.
When I used to perform, Hedda, I still perform, but when I used to perform, I used to do the same thing. I run around the room and jump on tables and things to get their attention. Very clever.
Yes.
It works.
Yeah. Because, as I said,
it's difficult for you because you got the piano there and you're leaving that piano.
Heavens to Betsy and heavens good sakes that I kept a tune in my head and the tone. You know,
so that
I could go back and hit the same key that I started out in and end up in that same key.
Right.
And as I remembered, Willie Covan says, move around and they'll follow you.
That's right.
But if you sit still, they'll go to sleep.
How were the audience back those days in comparing today's audiences?
They were rude.
Yeah, go ahead.
They were very, some of them were rude.
Uh-huh.
Very rude.
But the clubs.
They wanted to be seen instead of listen, you know.
Hedda, the club scene those days back must have been great.
It was.
Wasn't it great?
It was. I loved the club scenes.
Yes.
It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. I mean, I had a piano, and they had put an extended top on it so that maybe 15 or 20 people could sit around.
Right.
And they were right in my face,
yes,
of course, naturally.
Of course.
And they start talking, and I said, well, I think I'll go to the bar. And do just exactly what you're doing.
That's right.
Have a drink, and when I finish, I'll come back. Now you can talk all you want to while I'm gone.
That's a great gimmick. Great gimmick.
So I would do that, and I'd come back. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable to a certain extent.
People have never seen this before.
People didn't believe that anybody would get up and walk away, go to the bar and have a drink.
Right.
You know.
Right. Absolutely.
And at that particular time when I got up and walked away, I might have needed one. No, I went to Europe. It didn't happen that way.
How about in Europe? Working in Europe. It didn't happen that way. But you still walk around, though.
I walked around, except at the club in Australia. It seated 800 people. It was so big.
Uh-huh.
I was almost walking a block to get to the piano.
Right.
But everybody was just cutting quiet.
Uh-huh. Do you do the RSL clubs in Australia, Sydney and all Melbourne?
I did Sydney.
Yeah, I love it.
And Melbourne. I did most of my clubs and my shows in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
That's
the sophisticated area.
Yes,
Melbourne.
It's a quite, I would say, sedate and staid.
It's Bostonian. Mm-hmm. Melbourne is considered Bostonian. Anyway, first black performer ever had her own television show, half-hour show. Hedda Brooks sitting here. Tell me about it. Before Nat King Cole.
Oh, yes.
Nat King Cole, you were the first black performer ever had her television show. That must have been a great feeling to open the doors.
It was. I mean, they called me at this particular station to do 11 to 11:30 show.
What a time.
I'm looking at a wall, Skippy.
Right.
Singing.
That's not Hedda Brooks.
No.
You're looking.
But they did it twice to me, you know. I mean, this is radio.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
At 11 to 11:30.
Right.
And then I think maybe they got a lot of calls about that. And Don Pedersen, who was producing my show, mm-hmm. came to me and asked me, did I want to do a television show?
Right. This is for KTLA, Channel 13.
That was the first.
Yeah.
It's now changed, but I mean, that's KTLA, Channel 13,
yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I said, sure. And it was very successful.
You did 26 weeks.
That's right.
Then you went on the road with your show.
That's right.
People got to know Hedda Brooks from television.
That's right.
But it was difficult for you just to camera, but you know, not really. It's like Liberace did it, too, you know.
Yes.
You're a performer, Hedda Brooks. You can do it. When you're working nightclubs, I believe when a performer works nightclubs, they can go do anything.
Anything they want.
Anything they want. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I mean,
why?
Like, because we're so extroverted. we're just out there. We like what we're doing, but then sometimes we hold ourselves back, but not long.
Uh-huh.
But we want to get out. We want to do this. We like the people.
Right.
And we want them to like us.
Of course.
And so we go sometimes out of our way.
Right.
Sort of puts you off edge, but I mean, you go out of your way.
Right. Billy Burke, the club here in Hollywood. A lot of stars worked it. Frankie Lane, I could go, I mean, Shecky, they all worked it.
Yes.
Billy Burke, tell me about that club in Hollywood.
Slim and Slam, I used to go there.
Yeah, tell me about that club.
I used to go there, and I hadn't really done any clubs. I think
at
that's
that
what
time,
fascinated
yes,
me.
Yes, fascinated to watch.
It really fascinated.
And you watched Frankie Lane
I
one night,
Frankie
and
Lane.
You saw a you heard a song.
Yes.
That's My Desire. Which you recorded.
That's right.
And the big hit.
I loved it. I went to a secondhand store right off of Cahanga and got the sheet music, and it was 50 years old, that song.
Before that, really?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It had one of those old-fashioned covers, you know, like the woman with the cloche hat, the long cigarette holder, and the fur, and the tight dress coming hanging all the way down her ankles and whatnot. And it was 50 years old, and I wanted to record it.
Uh-huh.
After Charlie Barnett told me, after you do three boogies and you get an encore, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do another boogie. He said, why don't you sing?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I can't. He said, well, fake it. And I did. But I did one tune before, That's My Desire, for the audience, the next show.
Right.
And then the next recording that I did was That's My Desire. Of course, I knew I didn't ask Frankie Lane's permission.
No. You didn't ask him.
No.
But he didn't record it then.
He recorded it.
After.
After I did it.
Yes, that's what I mean. But you first recorded it.
I recorded it first.
First. Yeah. But Frankie's... Why do you think that became such a hit with Frankie Lane? The gimmick, the simic?
Well, I mean...
It was a hit for you, too.
It was a hit for me, but his voice had a lot to do with it, and his rendition of it had a lot to do with it.
Yes, yes.
Because, you see, he did it almost every night in his show.
Yes, I see. The audience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I just fell for it.
Etta Brooks, this is the song that you did record first. That's My Desire.
Right.
This is it. Look at this. This is your first... album, right? The songs.
Vocally, songs, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now, you got a new one out, anytime, any place, anywhere. Ooh, that sounds like me, honey. Anytime, any place, and anywhere, girl. I love this, Hedda. This is great. The songs are great. What's some of the songs in this?
Well, now, wait a minute.
Wow, you got any place, anytime, anywhere. That's My Desire. You got all those songs, aren't you? Oh, God, you got them all here, girl. The Foggy Day.
Yeah,
I
Foggy
love
Day.
I love your rendition of Foggy
Man
Day.
River.
Old Man River. Your rendition of Old Man River and Foggy Days is so good. It's so good.
Thank you. I have a new one coming out.
Yes, what is it?
It's called Time Was When.
Time was when.
It'll be out sometime after the picture.
But you know, Hedda Brooks, look at this. Dieter Magazine, this month's magazine. Look at this. Look at you here. They give you two pages. Look up. I love this picture. This is a great picture of us.
Surprised me. That surprised me.
The picture is fabulous. Hedda Brooks, the article. These young kids. You're in with all these rock stars in here. Hedda Brooks, how do you feel about this?
I feel
this
wonderful.
This is 96, darling.
That's right.
Look at this, Hedda Brooks.
And this is 50 years of showbiz.
50 years of show business.
Right.
50 years. Looking back, Hedda Brooks, had a good time?
Had a ball. Had more fun. I traveled in Europe with the Harlem Globetrotters. I had a ball, too, there.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Had loads of fun. I liked it. I semi-retired, though, and then came back.
Yeah, you did. I remember. I was the first one interviewed you when I first came back from Vietnam. When I first came back in the 70s, when I start doing my television show, I had Hedda Brooks on.
That's right.
Helen Eichler brought you to me, and you were just... You retired. What happened, Hatta? Tell me.
I become a sort of disillusioned with audiences, truthfully speaking. And I just said,
what do you mean, just disillusioned with audiences?
I just couldn't understand their talking.
In the audience.
And when I came back from Europe, after I was so beautifully received,
right,
I couldn't understand
why
this
so rude.
Why this was so rude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I just stopped. I didn't stop performing because I wouldn't stay home. I'd go out, uh-huh, and they'd call on me, and
right,
I'd do two or three tunes. I mean, you know.
But you really didn't have your heart into it.
I didn't want to.
So they hurt you.
They did. They hurt me very much. It was my own country.
Uh-huh. They hurt me. Why didn't you go back to Europe? Why remain in this country? You did go.
I did go back.
Where did you go?
I went to England. I went back to Australia.
Have you gone to France, Paris?
Yes, I did. When I was with the Harlem Globetrotters.
You did?
Yes.
They must have loved you there.
They would absolutely.
French audiences are great.
They're great.
Wonderful.
Germany, wonderful.
Yes. Oh, speaking Deutsch. Deutschland, guten Abend.
Singing, I can't give you anything but love four times because we were performing in the outdoor arena, if you want to call it that.
I mean,
they'd have the bullfights in the afternoon and then the Harlem Globetrotters would play at night, you know. And in Spain. And they couldn't see me all the way around, so I had to sing "I Can't Give Anything But Love to That Side, Can't Give Anything But Love" four times so that the audience could get the full
view. It's difficult when you're playing the piano and when you're working a big arena.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
But this was to the accompaniment of what do you call the squeeze box?
Yes, accordion.
Accordion, yes, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. One of the guys on halftime, he played the accordion. He was very, very classical and he was very, very good. And he played "I Can't Give You Anything But Love" for me. Because when I did the Wimbledon Stadium in England for Princess Margaret, and the Queen, the place was so big, they rolled my baby grand piano out. Mm-hmm. And I was, the place is so enormous.
So Hatta Brooks had this, you respect it all over the world, and then you return to country. They were noisy out there, clubs, so, hey, I don't need this. Forget it. I'm getting out of here. Is that what happened?
It happened to me that way.
But you got back. Who decided to bring you back?
Was it
Alan Eicher?
Alan Eicher.
He's the one.
Yes.
He helps a lot. Yeah, that's Eartha Kitt. He helps all these great people.
He helps a lot of people.
Laverne Baker?
Laverne Baker.
Oh, God, she's wonderful. She's in town right now.
Yes,
She's at the Roosevelt. She's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Lady is great.
Beautiful. Lots and lots of admiration I have for her.
What has been the hardest for Hatta Brooks in life?
Oh, I had no pain.
You have no pain?
I haven't had any pain.
You haven't had any pain.
I've just mentioned the pain that I did
have.
Yeah,
so that's...
Outside of that, there is no pain.
So you have no regrets about anything?
No. I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. I have been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's right. You just got... I was going to bring that up.
Oh, really?
You just got inducted to the Hall of Fame for Rhythm and Blues.
The Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame.
Under the
category of pioneer.
I think it's great, Hatta. Congratulations,
So thank you very much. It was so electrifying, though. It was very funny.
All these years, how does it feel? You mean you wait and wait and all of a sudden this happens to you?
The recognition came.
Yeah. If you wait there, and it's there.
Well, I imagine somebody thought of me. The fellow upstairs thought of me.
Do you believe in faith?
Well, yes.
Do you believe in faith?
I believe in faith.
This is the Wiggle Room on Sheena's Jungle Room stream.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Julie Wilson, you look absolutely wonderful. That's the only thing I can say about you, darling, always.
A
lovely lady from Nebraska, all the way from Nebraska. You grew up there.
I grew
left
up
there at what age, my love?
18.
18. Went to New York or where?
I joined Earl Carroll Vanity.
You're kidding. You came to Hollywood?
No. He came to Omaha.
And he caught you there?
It was a show.
And he brought you? To Hollywood.
Then I joined the show. He had gone already.
Uh-huh.
He did the press work.
I remember the show very well. I was a kid there in Hollywood, and I used to come to see the show. It was a very good show.
I heard it was.
On Sunset Boulevard.
That's right.
It was great. And they've had many things there. Listen, darling, they've got a documentary on you right now. It's called My Showbiz, My Life. Showbiz, My Life. That is you.
Well, darling, I love it dearly. I am such a ham.
You're not a ham.
Yes, I am.
You're a true show, cabaret, theater, actor, actress, whatever.
I love it all. And on my days off, I like to go see other people loving it.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Matter of fact, you even go to Alaska to do some things in Alaska.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, that was such fun. I got a call from a friend of mine, a wonderful singer, and she said, Julie, have you ever been to Alaska? I said, no, uh-huh. I want to, though.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I can't go, I have a teaching gig. And she said, now I need a replacement. Would you like to replace me? I said, yes. And I was working with another wonderful pianist called Mark Hummel. And she said, do you think he'd like to go? I said, call him up and ask him. Uh-huh. And he did.
I bet your classroom was full trying to be cabaret performers.
That's right.
Am I right? It's all cabaret.
All cabaret.
The technique.
Oh, it was so much fun.
You can't teach those people.
No,
they got to be on stage to learn
it.
But
you learn it yourself.
That's it.
You have to do it.
That's right.
And go through it step by step.
I do a showcase every Monday night here at Trilusa in Beverly Hills.
What fun!
Yes, it is fun. And I present talent there and singers. And I always tell them.
That's great!
I keep telling them, just sing night after night.
Right.
Keep performing. I don't
care
where it is.
Just keep doing it. That's exactly what I tell the kids.
There is a girl I discovered. She does Edith Piaf. You got to see her.
Oh,
darling,
when
she is
so... When will she do it, darling?
Yeah, well, she does it on Monday nights in my cabaret. But, Julie...
But what time?
Monday night?
Yeah.
9:00.
Could
I love
come
you.
A week for Monday?
You, darling, you come and have my guest and have dinner and watch her perform.
Oh,
she
great!
She does Edith Piaf like you now. And, but
oh,
the one I'm bringing
up... I love Piaf. I'd love to see
what
that
I'm bringing,
and hear her.
It's going to win the award, too. What I'm trying to say is that... She kept working at it and working at it and she
That's
developed.
That's the only way.
She developed as she was going.
How wonderful.
So you're telling the young kids, look at them and say, work, keep working,
That's
don't
it.
Get discouraged.
And don't, it doesn't matter where it is.
That's right.
Take the job. Get up on your feet and sing.
Tell me about the documentary. It got such a war. It was at the Walter Reed Theater in Lincoln Center.
It was.
It was.
It was.
And the great reviews.
And Baby Jane Dexter.
Baby Jane Dexter.
Was on the thing with me, and she was darling, and another wonderful singer that stopped working and went to Australia to live and got married.
Ah.
There were three of us.
Three of them. Who was the other one in Australia?
Do you remember? I've just gone blank. She's
Doesn't
from,
matter.
She's from Africa.
Africa. Now, you have a son. You grew up.
Oh,
matter
I
of fact, you got in the business.
Him.
You left the business
That's
to
it.
Go back to take care of your son in Nebraska.
No, I went Where? Back to be with them. Well, two of them I had.
You had two.
One died.
Oh, okay.
At 26.
Uh-huh.
That was the young one. Holt is the actor, and he's wonderful.
And you went back to take care of these kids.
Yes.
They gave up the showbiz for a while.
It was only a few years, that's
a few years.
All. And because my mom had a stroke.
I see.
Very bad stroke. So I stayed there with her.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing was 7 years.
Oh, that's...
That's nothing.
But you kept singing, though, in the shower, I bet.
I kept singing anytime they asked me.
Uh-huh. Your son is an actor now.
Very good actor.
I understand. His name is Holt?
Holt McCallany.
Holt McCallany.
Yeah.
Was your husband an actor?
was he?
Yes, he was, and a director and a producer, and he won a Tony Award for bringing over the Irish play, Borstal Boys. It was very good.
Oh, just finished a film complete with the fights of the game with Brad Pitt, I understand, and also...
That was about a year ago.
But he's got a new movie out, I'll tell you, with Navy Diver with Robert De Niro. That is a new, brand new one of your son's movie. I bet it must be exciting to see your son.
Oh, it's very exciting. See, I never wanted to be a singer.
Never?
I didn't think I was good enough.
Julie.
I wanted to be an actress.
But you are one of the greatest cabaret singers in the world.
Not really.
Listen to me. Frances Fay used to say this.
Well, I love Frances Fay.
Yeah, she loved you too. Everyone did. Elizabeth Scott. They all said, if you think of a cabaret performer, and with this beautiful gardenia tucked behind your ear.
Well, that's because I love Billie Holiday so much.
Is that what you did it for?
Yes. And the cutest thing happened walking down the street in New York after seeing some... Well, it's a surprise.
It is a surprise.
Sure
well,
is.
Hey, they have to come out with the truth, don't they?
Yes.
That's the only way to do it. If you don't do it, you don't get the truth. But the Tonight Show, the Johnny Carson, he loved you.
He adored
you.
So nice.
I used to watch you on it. And when he used to introduce you, he said the way he did it, with such compassion and love.
Well, he was
the
very
lady
kind.
With the gardenia.
Well, he was.
You are noted for that.
He was very kind. He was. He was good to me. I've been very lucky. I really have.
You know, I like to hear a woman who's been in the business how many years? 70?
About 70.
70 years in showbiz saying, I've been lucky.
I have been.
And that is good. There's bitter people like Mickey Rooney's bitter.
Well,
I love
nice
Mickey.
To me.
He was?
Yes, he was. I got my break of the Macambo through
Mickey.
Through Mickey.
When he was younger, he was all great talent, but younger. But now they get a little older. That's what I'm trying to bring out. He's older now. He's a little bitter. But that's beside the point.
But
you're not bitter.
Nice. I'm not bitter about anything. I appreciate every moment I'm alive.
Now you're here.
And I have a good time.
You're here in Hollywood right now at this Gardenia Club.
It's a wonderful
club. Tom
Rowland
owns it.
Very nice to everybody.
And you've known Tom since the days of the Latin Quarter.
Yes,
the owner. He is
but I didn't realize that he was one of the dancing boys.
Was he?
But I was there in the chorus.
You're kidding.
No.
At the Latin Quarter.
And then I got a better offer at the Copacabana nightclub. With Monty Proger and that group, because they paid $50 more a week.
Julie Wilson, sitting there, first cabaret in New York City at that time. First, when Julie Wilson, what cabaret was it when you walked in, when they discovered that Julie Wilson was that?
Well, my darling manager that passed away, I miss him forever, Baron Poland, put me in the St. Regis Hotel, Maisonette. He was such a wonderful manager.
You're noted for the thinnest lady with elegance, this gardenia tucked behind your ear, and that is your image.
Well,
what an image.
Baba, who was a Hollywood designer, made so many beautiful gowns for me, and a new friend in New York called George Halley, who remembered me from... The St. Regis Maisonette. He's made some lovely gowns for me.
Julie Wilson, the night you remember, you're 83. Now, do you remember that particular night that you walked out this most elegant hotel in New York City?
Yes, I do.
You do? What was it? What was it like?
It was spellbinding. And I loved it, and I felt right at home.
I bet you had the kings and queens, everyone coming to see you.
Well, they did. Even the Duke and Duchess
of Windsor. I know they came.
Yes, and in London, the princesses came.
Uh-huh.
And Margaret and her sister.
Princess Margaret, yes. I met her, too.
She was wonderful. I worked at a club called the Blue Angel in London in 63 when John
you
F. Kennedy.
Did. How
that's
wonderful.
Where I was. John F. Kennedy assassinated. I was in London working. God. And I remember that incident very well. And Princess Margaret used to come in with Snowden at the time.
Oh.
And that photographer, I think
yes.
he was. But she was a wild lady, and she was lovely, too. And she
was
fun.
Yes, she was. She was fun, and she was a very nice girl.
Did you ever meet Onassis?
Never.
I'm surprised.
No.
Surprised?
No, I didn't.
A New Yorker.
Well, he was hung up on the opera singers, baby.
No, not Onassis. Jacqueline Kennedy. Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy.
Oh, no, I never had the pleasure.
She never came to see Julie?
No.
I'm sure. Really?
But I thought she was lovely. I would have been honored, very honored.
Now, you're here how long? Performing here at the Club Gardenia?
At the Garnier, well, tonight and tomorrow, and then next week.
And next week?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Of next week?
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
and
Saturday?
I close on that Saturday.
Okay. Because I want my audience to come down to see you because you are just incredible. Do you have a book out, Julie?
No, I have no book.
You're sitting there telling me you never wrote a book?
No.
They just got this only thing about you. Is there a documentary, a film on you?
I guess that's it.
Showbiz is my life?
That's all right.
It's a great title, but... how about doing a book?
I think books.
Haven't people come up to you and say, Julie, let's do a book?
They have. About 50 different people.
Well, why don't you do it?
Because it's too personal.
Too personal. You don't want to, but you are personal on stage.
I know, but I think my own memories and my own life is only important to me. I'm not a big star, darling. I'm not a Judy Garland. Yes, Marlene Dietrich, people of that.
Yes.
Caliber that,
but you
echelon.
Are.
I'm not there, Skippy. I'm just a good performer working.
A good cabaret
performer. Grateful to be doing it.
Tell me about the one. Oh God, who's your favorite? You must have great songwriters. Who are they?
I love them all. I could sing Sondheim for the rest of my life.
Yes, that's what you do.
He's so wonderful, but I like to mix it up.
You do?
Yes, I love some Rodgers and Hart, some Cole Porter, some Kurt Vile.
You did Showboat.
About four times.
And Kiss Me, Kate.
Yes.
That's one of your best shows, I think, isn't it? Would you consider... What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I played a couple of productions of Madame Rose in Gypsy.
Madame Rose in
I
Gypsy.
I think that was my favorite role.
It's my favorite show.
Mine too.
There was no performer.
I love that show.
I know, and no performer I ever seen on that stage do Ethel Merman-ish like that woman.
Oh, she was great.
Wasn't she dynamic?
Oh my God, she left me numb. I could hardly get up after a matinee. She was so great.
The Folly Song is one of my favorites from Could I Love You? And I'm Still Here. That song, are you going to do that tonight?
No.
You're not going to do those songs tonight?
No, I'm going to do that in my 90th birthday show. I'm Still Here.
Oh, come on, what are you doing tonight, Julie?
No, I'm doing a mix.
I
want you to be surprised.
Oh, okay, you're doing the mix, huh?
Mix, oh yes.
Okay.
Some oldies, some new ones.
It's a fun.
And
it's
I'm doing one of Babby Green. I think she's a terrific writer.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote a wonderful bossa nova with John Boswell called Bossy Nova. And that's one of my favorites. I just love that song that she did. She's a very good writer.
They honor you a lot in New York City. They honor Julie Wilson.
Well, I've been very lucky, as I say.
Yeah, they honor Julie Wilson as one of the best cabaret performers of 19 duh, best performer of this. You must got a lot of awards around the house.
Well, I have a few pretty nice ones, I must admit.
Uh-huh.
I never got a Tony Award, but I got a nomination. It was almost as good.
The nomination was for
Legs Diamond with Peter Allen.
Yeah, that's it.
I played the older woman.
You were great in that, too.
Oh, thank you, darling.
But you also did a lot of movies.
No.
Yes, you've done a few good films.
Only two.
Only two?
This Could Be the Night.
Oh, that's
where
right.
I played the nightclub singer and with Neely Adams, Joan Blondell.
Neely Adams.
Oh,
yeah.
And,
love her.
And, oh, gosh.
I thought you did a lot more than that. But you've done a lot of... That you've done a lot of shows on television.
Ben Gazzara was the and his a man they called the Strange One.
Uh huh.
That was fun too.
Did you ever study voice?
I studied for years. I still study.
So the secret is keep your throat and muscles together and open.
Keep it going.
If you stop singing, you lose it.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you, if you lose it, Julie,
you
like
have
I've
to
lost
start
it,
over.
Like I start,
but
I stopped.
You, but darling,
I don't sing anymore.
But
I used
it.
To have a good voice, tenor, and I stopped because I present other singers. I love to sing, but I can't sing. Would I ever get it back again?
Yes.
How do you get it back?
By starting gently, and just work at it quietly.
I see. And the breathing will come back?
Yes, yes.
And
it's all up here. It's a mental process.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because I used to sing soprano, voice.
You did?
Yeah, my darling. I used to, high notes, E-flat, Danny Boy used to do.
Have you seen Steven Strindberg work?
No.
Oh, he's fabulous.
I know who he is.
Oh, he's so good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Julie Wilson... Leaving for London after the Gardenia.
I'm so excited.
What an exciting thing that
is. Yes, it is.
Yes, my God. The songs you're doing tonight. I want to see some. I'm coming in tonight.
Good, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I'm coming in. It's raining here in L.A., ladies and gentlemen. We've had bad rainstorms.
We really have.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
This and your timing is so bad,
well,
poor baby.
Well, that's all right. I'm just happy to be here. And I'm happy to be in your show.
Thank you. You keep your... spirits up, Julie.
Yes, I do.
Has anything been...
I was just born happy.
Have you anything been hard for you in life?
Losing my son was terrible.
That's the hardest.
You never get over that.
You don't?
No, you're a mother. And it's just not right. If I died, that's okay. But your young children can't die. Mm-hmm. But they do.
Now, how's your life in New York, in Manhattan?
I can't
You go out every night
anything.
Or stay in mostly when you're not
I
working?
No, I go out to see other performers working.
You do.
All the time.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
That's the secret. You're going out.
That's my fun.
To go out.
Sure. Yeah. And see other people working.
Not staying in and watching and moaning on television.
No, listening.
You've got to keep yourself out there.
I think so. I think so, too. You know, life is a banquet.
And most poor suckers are starving to death.
There you go. I think that line is terrific.
Everyone knows that line, honey.
It's a wonderful line.
It is a great line, yeah. What's your favorite show? Do you have a favorite show on Broadway? I know you love Gypsy and all, but there must be... Who's your favorite actor? Do you have a favorite musical actor?
Well...
Broadway.
I'm very fond... of Donna Murphy. I think she's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I saw her in Sondheim's Passion. Uh-huh. I thought she was so brilliant.
So you must go. You're a New Yorker. You must go to the theater for all the openings of the show.
Well, I can't always go.
Well, you get comps, darling, because you're a celebrity.
No, that's not true, darling.
It isn't?
If you're a friend of the producer... He might bring you.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. But it's a pretty close thing because the tickets are so expensive.
In Manhattan,
they are.
Yes, I know.
Yes, they are, darling.
They're not. See, L.A., they need celebrities for that Pantages Theater, so they gang them up there.
Well,
they
I think
go.
That's great.
Oh, yes, yes, you have to. Yeah. Julie Wilson, I'm so happy to see you again.
Well, I'm happy.
I am coming tonight to see you, my darling.
I'm delighted.
And I just still say that you should have a book out. If you did have a book out, what would you call it? What would Julie Wilson call her book? What would it be?
Don't let Julia fool you.
Don't let Julia fool. Don't let Julia fool you. That's kind of okay, I like that. Who is this Kaufman guy I'm reading about all the time?
Oh.
He wrote things about you.
Oh, he was such a doll.
Was he? Who was he?
He had a theater on 42nd Street.
Uh-huh.
Marty Kaufman.
Marty
theater.
Kaufman, good.
He died, unfortunately. And
he loved you.
Well, I loved him.
He loved you. He loved all the Broadway performers, Marty Kaufman.
Oh, he was a doll.
I met him, I think, with Mimi Hines. I'm not sure. I think Mimi Hines.
And Mimi is a doll.
Yes.
I went to see her at the Regency.
Did you really?
Michael Feinstein's. Uh-huh. Oh, she was brilliant.
Wasn't she good?
Oh, she's always good.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, she's really got it.
When you've got it, you've got it.
They can't take it away from that baby.
That's right. That's what I say about Mickey Rooney. He's got it. It'll always have it, regardless how bitter he is.
No, but he's got darling.
It. Oh, yeah, I know.
He was good to me. And I miss Annie that was doing his show with him.
Miller. One of the greatest.
Ann Miller. And those legs.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow, and could she dance?
Ann Miller. She was absolutely a great, great performer.
And such a sweet woman. Such a generous, sweet woman.
Yeah. Well, this documentary, can we see it now? It's out now. Where will it be?
I don't know, darling.
It's just out.
I don't know.
You were there for the opening, were you?
I was.
How was the reviews? You got great reviews.
I never read them.
You never read them?
No.
You don't read your reviews?
No.
You don't just sit there and read your reviews?
No, I don't.
You've been in all the business. I did get
a magnificent review for Stephen Holden this last year around.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but he's been very kind to me. I said, a lucky girl, and I mean it.
You have a lot of friends here in L.A. They all come to see when you appear here in L.A., you know, there's no cabaret anymore, only the Gardenia.
Well,
I mean, we need a better room just than the Gardenia.
Well, the Gardenia is a wonderful
room. It's a wonderful room, don't take me wrong. It's a great room, but there's got to be another room. What happened?
I don't know. I used to go to Feinstein's the Hollywood room.
Yeah, Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Dead. All these young kids. We don't have a real cabaret. Thank God for Roland to
do that. Well, thank God for him for keeping
it going. Thank you, keeping the Gardenia open.
Right.
Thank God.
God bless him.
Well, Julie Wilson, you are a delight, and I'm so happy that I...
Thank you, Skippy.
...that you are here with me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
And I will come tonight.
Good.
This is Friday night, and I'll come tonight. It should be good business tonight.
I don't count on anything, then I'm not disappointed. That's a good philosophy.
What is your philosophy, dear?
That's it. I just said it. See, I think people get despondent because they set their
goals
so high.
Uh-huh.
That if they don't reach them and things don't happen as they dream about it, they're despondent.
Mm. I'm listening to the Wiggle Room on Sheena's Jungle Room.
With the wake up, with the wake up, with the
The vulgar, the cheap, and the tawdry is out. There is no room at any time for
Sheena's Jungle Room,
which offend against common decency.
Temprano, sin saberse cómo, su baile singular me enseñó, su baile singular me enseñó.
Era un bongocero de fama mundial, que se divertía con su bongo, y un día muy temprano, sin saberse cómo, su baile singular me enseñó, su baile singular me enseñó.
De fama mundial que se divertía con su bongo y un día muy temprano sin saberse cómo su baile singular me enseñó su baile singular me enseñó
era un bongocero de fama mundial que se divertía
rumbo, su baile singular el mi señor, su baile singular el mi señor. Se agarra la pareja, sacando el pie derecho, cambiando un nuevo ritmo, tu fuego tropical. Ya, ya va, ya, ya está, va a empezar. Pumba, 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 pumba y no otra cosa. Este es un pumba, pumba, it's something new and very catchy. Pumba, 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 nothing else but pumba.
This is a religious college. I also teach in a religious college, the Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado, where I've taught for 15 years, which is the first contemplative Buddhist college in the Western world that's been accredited. So the first Buddhist college in the West, and since 86 accredited for interchange of credits. This is like a little manifesto, 1974. Let me say, beginning, I don't believe in soul. The heart, the famous heart's a bag of shit. I wrote 25 years ago. Oh, my immortal soul, youthful poet Shelley cried. Oh, my immortal ego. Little knowing, he didn't believe in God. Neither do I. Nor all science, reason, reality, and good moral will, collections of empty atoms, as Kerouac, Buddha, scribed. Neither does great love, immortal love, defy pain, nightmare, death, torture, Saigon, police, underground press, Pravda, Bill of Rights. And while we're at it, let's denounce democracy, fascism, communism, capitalism, and heroes. Art's not empty if it shows its own emptiness. Poetry useful if it leaves its own skeleton hanging in the air like Buddha, Shakespeare, and Rimbaud. Serious. Dispense with law except for cause and effect. And even the latter has exceptions. No, cause and effect is not foolproof. There is awareness which confounds soul, heart, God, science, love, governments, and cause and effect's nightmare. Figure that out. Ass is the part of peace. That round-faced woman, America, will have to kiss ass, Mother Earth. She owns the street where the three big dogs screeches at me, waddling with her shopping bag across Avenue B. Whites will have to kiss ass, blacks, grabbing my crotch for peace and pleasure. Why don't you talk to me? Baring her teeth in a smile, voice loud like a taxi horn. You big jerk! Only pathway to peace, kiss ass. You think you're famous? Reminds me of my mother.
You are listening to
Tastings.
Mutations.
On Sheena's Jungle Room.
Mid Valley.
You got me howling at the doom.
Part one.
The King of the Beats.
Part of the WFMU family of products.
Mutations.
And a mighty good hello out there in Radio Land, to those who are listening and enjoying our program tonight. And while I cannot guarantee that I have accomplished this feat entirely, I think our ground loop problem has been resolved. But please, all those out in the digital salon, let me know. How does it sound? What's your take? What am I doing wrong? Please, let's figure this out. Well, yeah, you know, I like many people, have probably been thinking a little too much about our current news environment, the world we're living in, our politics and our culture and our art and all that. And part of me wonders, how in the hell did they do this in the old days? And so that is a part of what our mission is about tonight, is kind of turning back the clock a little bit and trying to, I don't know, put a finger on how we make sense of the way things used to be, and I don't know. Maybe learn a little bit about ourselves along the way. Instead of howling at the doom, as I tend to do, why don't we just do a little radio version and see if that will help sate our jangled nerves. Yeah, it looks like we got a good audience tonight, already hanging out in the Digital Salon, which is always a pleasure, but, you know, that is just a small sampling of the folks that are listening tonight. I'm sure we have lots of lurkers out there who are tuned in and wondering, where are we gonna go? What are we going to do with this? So let's just say a quick hello to Gorilla Fella, Chris O, who I think has unfortunately had to get some rest because it is much later for them than it is for me. Mr. X, who gave me a little insight on how to work on this episode. Let me pull a little bit of the curtain back for you who might be listening and wondering how the process